Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, your life connection to the information for a healthy body, an enlightened mind, and a renewed spirit.
Hello, everyone. You're listening live with Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, and today's show, Fairy Tale Interrupted Relationship Coaching with Dr. Andrea Lee. Dr. Andrea Lee is a national speaker, an international author, a trainer at the Marriage Boot Camp, which is the same national 501c3 company that showcases a weed TV show called Marriage Boot Camp Reality Stars, an in-demand certified life coach and relationship guru with Fairy Tale Interrupted. I know she has a lot of wonderful information she'd like to share with you today. So without further ado, I welcome your host, Dr. Andrea Lee.
Thanks, Courtney. Happy New Year, everyone. Dr. Andrea Lee, your certified coach with Fairy Tale Interrupted. For those of you returning back to listen to this month's show, welcome back. For those of you who are new to this program, welcome as well. Just a reminder, this show is a resource for real life as it bridges the gap between what society does not want to talk about and what's really happening in the family unit, the relationship, and the unique individual. Today's topic is going to be an important and somewhat of a fun topic to talk about because I will be addressing the art of how to create and achieve a winning New Year's resolution. This is also going to be focusing on a result-driven mindset versus a process-driven mindset, which is going to be very important when you create those goals or resolutions. So let's get started because I'm just really excited to, you know, share this information. You know, last year has come and gone. It's come to a close, and you might have been riding a natural high of the new possibilities that you rang in with the new year. You have a wave of excitement and just everything looked like it was going to start off fabulous for 2017. You thought you could do anything. You wrote your, possibly already wrote your resolutions. But now it's a couple weeks into the new year, and you've had a few days to settle down and into the normal routine, and your exciting high has now turned into an extended New Year's Day hangover, as you have realized that your resolutions have fallen to the wayside. We are going to fix that right here, right now, on this show, and get you back on track. First of all, you know, I use goals when I talk about resolutions. So, you know, for me, resolutions and goals are interchangeable. So before we really begin, let's talk about a goal. Okay, it could be a short-term or a long-term place that you want to be. Now, let's think about this. You have a little dot of where you are. Imagine yourself putting on a piece of paper a dot, which is where you are right now, your starting point. And then on the other side of the sheet of paper, I want you to put a dot of your resolution or your goal of where you want to end up. Now, there's going to be some space in between that. And that dot, that goal of where you want to be is the result. There's space between the result and the beginning point. I want you to, just in your mind, imagine drawing a line between the starting point and the goal. And that is what we're going to be talking about today and focusing on. That process, that line that you have control over. You don't have control over your goal or your resolution. There are things that are out of your control. But you do have the ability to do things, to say things, to do what is needed to get that end result by focusing on the process. And I think at this point, I would like to kind of talk to you about the result-driven process and why it's bad, and we should be thinking about this. All of us have pretty much have had a job, we've gone to school, and we've had people say, I want results. I don't care what you've done. I don't care how many hours you've worked on it. If it's not right, you don't get credit for it. The result-driven process is like success in reverse because the result-driven process mindset is extremely inflexible. It's a discouraging process that saps productive energy, and it's counterproductive to a person's success. I hate to sound like the Surgeon General warning about cigarettes and alcohol, but result-driven mindset is so bad for you in all aspects of your health. For starters, it's very inflexible cycle that mainly focuses on the results. And if there's no give and take, there's just no give in the situation. Either you do it or you don't. This is a black and white viewpoint. It is incompatible with the gray world we live in. When you do not obtain the results that is put in front of you, you're given a notion that you failed. Or if you've tried to make a goal for yourself and you've not obtained it, you feel like you have failed. Most will agree that it's very discouraging to have that sense of failure inside. It can lead to a lower body energy and fearfulness of potential failures in future situations. In addition, when you feel discouraged, it takes away the motivation to complete future tasks, and you start to procrastinate. Now, procrastination is the number one killer of all best intentions. So it's very important that we understand that if we nip it in the bud before it even gets to this point, that we have a great opportunity to move forward. Now, the next thing I want to talk about is, if let's just give an example. If you have an employer situation where someone's banging on your, you want to get out at 5 o'clock, you've made plans, you've come into work early, and let's just say, your boss comes and tells you he needs a report. And you know this report's going to take 2 or 3 hours, and it's 4:30, and you know you can't do it. Well, are you going to consider yourself a failure because you didn't get out at 5 o'clock? That's more of a priority or a change, an outside stimulus that you could not control. You could not control whether your boss was going to give that to you, so you could not accommodate for it. I think we all have had things in our own lives where we've tried our very best, tried our very hardest to get something done, and something's been, you know, thrown at us, and it's thrown us off course. Now, I'd like to bring Courtney on and, you know, kind of get her viewpoint, if maybe she can get an example of something that maybe you could come on and tell us about, maybe a story of when you were doing something and someone else threw you off course and how it affected you.
Oh, I think it kind of happens all the time, to be honest with you. I mean, we can't always predict what somebody is going to throw at us or how a circumstance is going to change. I mean, just to be honest with you, I set some goals before the end of the year. And because of so much, you know, outside stimuli, you know, including the holidays, I wasn't able to get those things done. So, I mean, I could think of a bazillion different examples of that. I think it's something that we face on a daily basis in a way. You know, you can't always predict the unexpected.
Then how does that make you feel when you actually were not able to finish everything?
I agree. I definitely, in some ways, felt like a failure. But I'm one of those types of people that I do try to take a step back and look at the situation completely different, because you're right, we don't have control over everything.
Yeah, and that's really difficult, because when we write our goals or our New Year resolutions, a lot of the time we will write something as if we're writing a goal as if it is a result-driven mindset. So we are, in essence, owning not only our contribution, but what others contribute to the situation as well, and we're taking on that excess baggage. Mm-hmm. And that inflexible cycle continues over and over and over until you feel as though you have low self-concept, low self-esteem, and everything's in the gutter. And again, Courtney, there is a vicious cycle. It's you were given a result-driven task, or you created one for yourself. Okay, let's call that the goal or the resolution. Then you didn't complete the task, or you didn't completely finish it. Now you feel like a failure, and then now you're fearful to try again. That fear leads to a lack of motivation. And then, of course, that lack of motivation leads to procrastination. The procrastination leads to an expectation to complete future tasks. And then it's a cycle that starts all over again.
And yeah, that I definitely agree with you.
And that's a cycle that as a society, in the result-driven process, we are hurting ourselves and really hurting productivity, our, you know, our minds, our spirit, our just our energy. We're hurting that. Now, let's say, let's just kind of, you know, kind of play what I think about this, is if you keep running this cycle over and over and over again, what does that sound like? Sounds like insanity. When you know you're doing the same thing over and over again, but you're expecting a different result, it's not going to change. And not only that, you know, the inflexibility of a result-driven process, it doesn't allow for change in priorities or influence of outside factors. Perfect example. My husband and I have six kids and two dogs. Courtney, I can tell you, I have had business meetings. I've had a lot of things going on. I have had my phone go off, and it's an emergency, and I need to take my kid to the hospital because something happened at school. I had every intention of following through on my business plan or doing whatever I needed to do. But it's a change of priority. It's not that you're leaving it on the ground or you're not taking it seriously, but that inflexibility of the result-driven process does not allow for a change in priority. Do you understand that concept, and what can you add to that?
I can definitely understand the concept. It kind of reminds me of what you said about the piece of paper, you know, connect a line between both dots. Sometimes that line is not perfectly straight. You know, it's not, you know, you go from the goal to the result and nothing gets into the way of it. You know, life happens, you know, other unexpected or unforeseen circumstances happen. Maybe that line gets a little curved, you know, maybe it even gets chopped up a little bit, but you pick it back up, but you know, you still have that focus. But the result system doesn't allow for that. It's like straight away, let's get her done. And if you don't get it done, you know, you're beating yourself up sideways over it. So I think that's kind of where the difference is. You know, it's not beneficial to the person. It creates way too much stress within an individual as well.
Correct. It does. And not only that, I come from a family where I was a military brat. So I've had this, if it's meant to be, it's up to me, and it's going to get done. And it took a while for me to realize that instead of my mindset being white or black, that I had to really conform to a gray world where it just was not that clear cut.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you know what? It's, you know, I've said this before, but I really want to say it again. Result-driven mindset, it is a very counterproductive method that can lead to future procrastination, lower self-esteem. You know, but we've missed a point. It seems obvious that I want to mention it again. And here's a newsflash for all of you listening to the show. You cannot own or control the outcome or result, only the process. You cannot control whether you're going to make a sale quota or whether you're going to lose, you know, you're going to lose 25 pounds in 2 months, or if you're going to get a report completed by a stated, you know, a deadline, or even if, you know, you and your partner are going to get to the next level within a certain amount of time, especially with the fact that if you have a partner, you have outside influences. You can't control that. You cannot control, but you can control how you respond to it. You can control your actions to that point. And, of course, with the alternative approach aside, the result-driven process, I would like to introduce to you the process-driven mindset. It's a little bit different, but it's really focusing on, instead of that dot, we're going to be talking about that line. The process-driven mindset can be defined as pretty much a notion of placing focus on the approach of completing the task or reaching a goal with the intention of getting to that endpoint, wherever your heart's desire would like for you to go. Whether you're in sales, you hold an office position, your job requires other people to do things, unless you have a gun to someone's head, you're making an effort, you know, and you're making an effort to force people to your will, you do not have much control over what people do. If you cannot control what other people are doing and how they contribute to you, why are you measuring your success on someone else's part in the result? Courtney, have you done that in the past?
Well, of course. I mean, even I can think of employment, boss gives you a bazillion things to do and yet you might not get those things done within the time frame of their expectations, but it's their expectations. It might not even be the expectations of the clients or the other employees or the expectation of the customer, but it's the expectation of the boss. It kind of makes you look at the process in itself.
Correct. Now, let's talk about something just off of a little bit of a different topic. Let's talk about weight loss. How many commercials have we seen starting the 27th of December on about weight loss products, gym memberships, new programs, all that kind of stuff? Because we all want to make a New Year resolution that states we're going to lose weight. Okay, so I would love to give you an example. Let's just say you may want to lose 25 pounds in 2 months time frame. I don't know if that's realistic or not, but I'm just throwing it out there as an example. So you step on the scale and you find that you've not lost the 25 pounds that you've hoped to lose. Again, this process, you feel discouraged. Now your motivation, you've lost a little motivation. You may have lost weight, but it may have not been that number that you were looking for, that 25 pounds. Now, again, you didn't lose the weight that you set out to lose, and now you're convinced that you just cannot lose the weight. Let's just say you lost 17 pounds, but you still didn't reach that number of 25. Now you're giving up and heading for the refrigerator, let's be honest, to feed your low self-esteem with a carton of chocolate ice cream because you didn't reach it and you're about ready to just give up. Why are you beating yourself up on results that you can't control? Unless you have superhuman powers, you really can't control your weight loss on a cellular level, can you?
No, you cannot.
No. And if you can, you need to, you're going
to
be a
millionaire. You need to market that.
But you can control the process to your weight loss plan, such as your diet, your exercise, your appropriate amount of sleep. Now, those specific tasks would be considered process-driven mindset. You can measure your success on how well you've stick to that process. Let's face it, when it's put kind of that way, it's kind of silly to think that you need to be responsible for the actions of others and things that are outside of your ability. And it amazes me that people really don't give themselves enough credit with the process-driven mindset. I want to provide some additional points just to consider for our audience. If you focus on the process, your actions, to get you to reach your goals, your resolutions, you're taking back control of your life. If you're doing the right process, you should get the results that you're hoping for to obtain. So you're looking at your goals indirectly, but you're not focusing or basing your worth on results that are truly out of your control. Let's play devil's advocate and say that you didn't make your goal. As with previously mentioned examples of weight loss, you jump on the scale after the first 2 months with the hope that you've lost 25 pounds. However, the scale now reports that you've lost 15. Instead of feeling discouraged, you give yourself credit and you feel pleased to recognize that you've kept on your weight loss schedule, you did everything in your process, and it's a win-win for your self-esteem that thankfully is still intact because you feel good about yourself. And you'll also most likely be willing to continue on and not have that sense of failure. And it's just a very good win-win for both situations. You won't feel the procrastination. You won't feel the dread. You won't feel the fear. You'll just say, okay, well, I'm going to keep doing this, and, I'm going to get there when I get there. Now, there are a lot of things that we can talk about, and I think we've kind of talked about the difference between the result-driven mindset and the process-driven mindset. But let's bring it back to goals and what would be examples of awesome goals, awesome resolutions, and not so good resolutions. So, Courtney, could you tell me a potential resolution that you think most people would have?
Well, weight loss is definitely one, but I can tell you that from my personal experience, a lot of people like to think of very large resolutions, like by the end of the year, I'm going to move, or by the end of the year, I'm going to have a job that pays more, like very large resolutions, not something, you know, for your personal self, but something on such a larger scale.
Yeah, and, you know, at that point, again, you're still riding the high, you're still feeling high on that wave from New Europe of, you know, there's so many possibilities and everything's right and going in your direction and you have the whole year to do it, and then you realize there's only 365 days in a year. You got to make every minute count at that point. So let's talk about an example that you have given. I think we've talked about the weight loss. So which one did you want to talk about?
You know what? Another good one that I was going to actually mention, and I'm sure you've heard of this one, Andrea, but how many people have you talked to who say that they are going to fall in love? Like that is their New Year's resolution, to fall in love.
I love that one. That is probably number two or three that I hear. And they are so focused on being in love that they don't do the necessary things to attract their mate, okay? And not only that, they're so gung-ho about finding someone, finding their mate, that they're even sending off this persona that really may not even be them.
I agree.
And then it creates problems. So the first thing that I would say with someone comes, you know, when someone comes to me and, you know, ask, okay, this is one of my New Year's resolutions. I'm going to say, okay, well, what are you looking for in your partner, your potential partner? Okay. You know, get a visual, you know, of what they really want, get a sense, and then say, okay, well, what do you think that partner would want from you? What are your great attributes? And then the next question I ask is, do you love yourself? Are you being true and authentic to yourself? Do you hold friends, family members? Are you living a life that you feel that brings you joy? Where you feel that you can just let your hair down and you know that every single day you're living life to the fullest and being true to yourself. The next question after that, because that's going to bring on some conversation, the next question after that I would ask, okay, so what are you doing every single day to find this person? And the question usually ends with, well, I'm going to work. I'm going out with my girlfriends or hanging out with my bros and blah, 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 blah. But they're really not going. They're forgetting the person that they're looking for. Where would that person be? And they're not really looking in the right places. And that's a process. Okay, where would you go? Would you go onto a dating site? Would you look, ask some of your friends to, if they have anyone in mind? Be very careful with that question. I must provide a disclaimer. There are just a lot of things that if someone is looking for a partner, they have to be on the right track. And that whole I want a partner is fine, but you have to do the steps, the task, and the motions to get you there. And you may be completely on the right track by the end of the year. You may find someone, but you may not be engaged by the end of the year. And you have to be okay with that because you're still succeeding. You're still focusing on that process. Do you understand what I'm saying about when I say that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, one of my favorite quotes is, you know, he's not going to show up at the front door on a horse. you know, it doesn't work that way. And if it does, well, then you're really lucky, but it doesn't usually work that way. You have to put the work and the effort behind it too. And that's just not to go out and look, but also to make sure you're doing the work for yourself independently as well. It's a process. It literally is. But you also, I think, have to look at the goal. You know, like you said, you might not be engaged by the end of the year. Well, that wasn't the goal. The goal was to fall in love or to open yourself up to new relationships. The goal wasn't to be engaged and hitched.
Yeah, but unfortunately, when we get into this process and we put so much effort into it, our expectations as we go along in the process start to increase because we become more emotionally invested in that goal. Mm-hmm. And that's something that we have to watch out for.
Well, I think you bring up a valid point. So what would you recommend? Because, you know, some people are you know, kind of like that. Oh, I'm doing well. I'm on the process. I'm going to add this on top of it, this on top of it. My expectations are getting higher. Do you think that it's better to stick to that simplistic goal? Or do you think that, you know, you have the capability of adding on to it? Because then that might cause stress, too.
Well, I think it's important because you can have short-term goals and long-term goals. And you can have ultimately, I want to get married. I want to have a family. I want to have that loving relationship. Okay, but what do you need to do? Well, of course, you need to court. You need to get engaged. You need to know, of course, not in that specific order. You need to, you know the person. You need to really prepare yourself to enter into that joint life together. And so that each life stage of this progression is a short-term goal. So a short-term goal could be, okay, I'm going to go out so many times per month, maybe networking events, you know, possibly this or that, and actually make myself, you know, visible and get myself out there talking to more, you know, whatever partner you'd want. That would be a short-term goal. And then once you reach that, then you go to the next level. And you could have those short-term goals that reach the long-term goal. And your long-term goals can make it even up to 5 years down the road. It's just, it depends on, see, and that's what I do with my family and my clients, is that we provide the ultimate goal, and then we backtrack with short-term goals. Because when you reach those short-term goals, you feel like you have instant gratification because you feel like you're making it, that you're making progress.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree with you, and I think that that's actually a really awesome approach to it, too. You know, to have those long-term goals, but to also have short-term goals so you're, I don't want to say self-satisfying, but you're definitely, you know, accomplishing along the line. You're not backtracking from the ultimate goal, but you're seeing development. You're making short-term goals along the process so that you feel that drive to continue forward.
Correct. And I think you said in another resolution, you know, that someone wants to make more money. Okay, that can go in so many different ways. You know, that person could potentially want to have a new job. That person may want to, you know, get a raise, get promoted. There's so many different ways. So instead of focusing on, I want to make more money per year, what could someone do using the process-driven mindset? Well, it's very easy. You can say, well, again, I'm going to start looking, because no one's going to come to your desk and say, hey, do you want $20,000 more per year? Just for nothing. I've never had that, have you?
No, I wish.
I would settle for 10 and split it with you. I've never had it happen.
If it happens, we'll talk, okay?
We'll go halfsies. Never had it happen, honestly, okay? People do not give you something for free. You have to work for it. So you have to figure out how you want to make that extra money. Are you willing to go to a headhunter? Are you willing to go to a recruiter? Are you willing to go look at ads? Are you willing to put, you know, to go to different networking events? There have been a lot of people that have been snatched up by the competitors just by going to networking events, especially if there's more than 200 or 300 people there. It's unbelievable. In fact, some people that go to the networking events really are not there to represent their company. They're actually poaching for additional employees. So something to think about. There are a lot of different things that people can do to increase their income. They can say, listen, you know, talk to their boss. Hey, I want to advance and I love my job, but I want to advance. You know, what is my advancement potential? That's very important to know, because if you're stuck in a dead-end job and you're not going to get that money, you either have to find another source of income if you're going to stay there, or you're going to have to be satisfied with the income that you have. So you have to put some steps in place. You actually have to move. You have to work. You have to focus on the process. You have to create that process and follow that process to see where it leads you.
Well, and you know, one thing to think about with a process is it's so easily done. I mean, it's so easy to go back to a habit that we originally had, or a habit that we're accustomed to. You know, taking the process approach allows you to overcome those habits, you know, allows you to overcome some of those things that you want to break. For example, with the weight loss, you know, you lose 15 pounds and then you, you know, go chug a bottle of vodka and, you know, three bottles of Coke. You know, that is going back to a habit, a bad eating habit or drinking habit or whatever type of habit that is totally giving up the, you know, the process, totally giving up the encouragement, totally giving up the success. You know, it's easy to go backwards. It's a lot harder sometimes to go forward, but if you trust the process and ultimately you accept it, you know, and move forward and still give yourself credit, you're going to break those habits of not relying on food, you know, every single time you don't lose your weight goal, or, you know, not getting discouraged and just sticking with the same job when you've applied for five and maybe you didn't get a call back. You know what I'm saying? You know, you have to kind of keep pushing forward and break those old fearful habits.
Yes, and I tell my clients, you have to move. You have to move, because if you don't move, you're falling backwards. Every single time you're going to fall backwards, because the world does not stop when you stop. It keeps moving. And in order for you to get ahead of what you want, what you desire, what you really want in your heart, you have to move. And that's what the process-driven mindset. You can move when you think about the process and you work the process. It's so important to think about that. Now, let's give, and again, the weight loss, you know, just, you know, kind of wrapping up here and giving those examples. I'm not going to put on my resolution sheet that I'm going to lose 25 pounds in 2 months. I'm going to put something along the lines of, I am going to stick to 1,000 calories per day, and then probably put like low carbs or whatever diet you're using. You know, I'm going to exercise by whatever type of exercise, however many times a day or how many times a week you're going to do it. And I am going to make sure I get enough sleep and lower my stress. Now, with those types of things, you can control. And with those in place, that resolution is going to lead you to losing weight. Putting, I want to lose 25 pounds in 2 months, will be much harder for you to lose weight. Would you not agree?
Oh, I agree. And one of the things that I would add to that is, you know, if you write a list, like you know, you mentioned Andrea, and you find yourself getting really stressed out, you know, I have to drop pop and I have to eat a carb diet and I have to exercise and I have to do all these things and it's just too much, then start small. Start small on that list and start with something along the lines of, okay, I'm only going to eat so many carbs a day for a few weeks, and then build up to now I'm going to add in exercise and so forth. Don't overwhelm yourself to where you eliminate the process altogether.
Correct. And again, this is just an example. I know when we do our resolutions, we feel great for the new year. I think we're still on that high. So we anything's in the sky. You know, whatever happens above still happens below. And we are, you know, we could do anything. And then once we start working towards that anything, we realized we probably should have started smaller. And that's not necessarily giving up. That is readjusting your priorities. There is a difference. So if you put down, you know, exercise, calorie intake, this, and you find that you're just not in that place, then you just reprioritize what you need to do. And then as you reach that goal, you start reaching that goal, then add back in what you originally had. Now, the one thing that I really want to talk about just really quick is having New Year resolutions with a partner. This is extremely difficult to think about because you may say, hey, listen, I want our relationship to be, we've had some stress the last year, we've had some struggle, and this year I want us to be, and you know, we agree to be in a different place in our relationship. Now, that's great, but that's a result-driven mindset. You need to think about, okay, I'm going to do kind, loving actions towards my partner, and my partner's going to do the same for me. You know, little tasks that both will go ahead and do with the intention of that it will lead to both partners feeling closer to the other person. But when I see these clients, usually in March, April, guess what happens, Courtney?
They at each other's throats.
Yeah, because one person is trying, making the effort, doing what he or she had in her heart, and the other person has decided not to do it. And the person that did it feels like a failure. It feels like it's her fault, frustrated. And it could be either side. And that is where the process-driven mindset helps with self-esteem. It helps with a person's ability to move forward. If that partner did everything that he or she promised that they, you know, that person would do, and the other person didn't do it, you can't control that other person, can you? You can't control unless you have a gun to their head, and then still they may say, I don't think so. You still have that ability to have someone not follow through. But you succeeded in your resolution because you follow through. And you had integrity, and you did what you said you were going to do. And that's where creating that resolution and making sure both partners are on board and motivating each other and coming from a process as opposed to a result-driven mindset makes a difference, especially with men. Men want results. Men want it now, and they wanted it. If they didn't want it now, they wanted it yesterday. And a relationship, a good relationship, takes time. And sometimes people don't want to, you know, take the time. They want to see instant gratification results. But if they see that they're following through on the process and they're making their milestones on the process, then it is a win-win.
I totally agree with you.
So I hope not to be hearing from some of our audience in March. I hope someone will take this to heart. And hopefully this will really make a difference because it has made a difference not only in my personal life, but also in the life of my clients and also the readers in one of my book, which is on my website. And for our audience, let me see, it's still on the website. It's Why Can't I Buy the Flour and Make Bread? A Woman's Guide to Having It All. And it talks all about planning, and it also talks all about result-driven mindset versus the process-driven mindset. And it can apply to really anything in someone's life. So if anyone needs realizing after the first of the year, maybe there's some issues in a relationship, or maybe you've broken up with your previous lover, I can be reached at 248-880-8336, or you can also ask to be scheduled for a free, no-obligation relationship explosion session at AndreaRelationshipCoach.com. And did you have any more suggestions or questions, Courtney?
Oh, no, I totally agree with you. I mean, it's actually funny that you brought up that specific resolution, because that was my husband at the beginning of the year. I want to have a better relationship this year. And I'm like, one day at a time. You can't make it happen overnight. It doesn't work that way. And it's about the process. It's about what you contribute. So I totally agree with you. I think it's interesting you bring that up. I really hope that the listeners take that to heart. It is one of the most common, you know, relationship resolutions. So it's just a different approach where you can get those, you know, results and goal, but go about it differently to accomplish it. So definitely, I hope your listeners take that one to heart.
Well, and Courtney, I think we should go ahead and play this for February as well for our listeners, because, you know, they may still be in that high process, you know, that high feeling of the new year, and it may have not hit them yet. And it may not resonate with them. And I think we should play this in February as well. So that way, you know, this is another opportunity for our audience, our listeners, to get a second chance to listen to it and to apply it, you know, getting further into the year and further into the process.
Awesome. Wonderful idea.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Happy New Year to all of my audience. And I will be back on in March of 2017. Have a great New Year.